members, I'm going to request you. There's a member next to you.
Good morning. Chairperson. My name is Foni Mushwana. Higher education, in higher education committee. Is that what you want to know only? Yeah, okay.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Khalif Mashamaite from Limpopo Province, a member of the new Select Committee on Education.
Thanks, Chairperson. Good morning. My name is Lydia Mshodi, Fawcett Province NCOP member, Select Committee of Education. Thanks.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Pinky Musisemove, NCOP member, the member of the Select Committee on Education and Recreation.
Good morning. My name is Grace Woroda, alias Oma, a member of the Select Committee on Education from NCOP.
Good morning. I'm Zukiswa Ranto, a member of the Select Committee on Education from NCOP.
Thank you, members. I'm Wendy Makate, the chairperson on Select Committee on Education and Recreation. I'm from the beautiful province, the Platinum province, that is the Northwest.
Chairperson, good morning. And morning to the department as well. My name is Wapi Plaki. I'm from the Northwest Province in NCOP.
Chairperson, I was the first, so I was disadvantaged. The other said where they come from. I come from Limpopo, and Sasu gave birth to me. Thanks.
Over to the department.
Good morning, Madam Chair and honourable members. It sounds like a bias towards a certain province. We were told by a deputy minister the other day that there's an investigation now due in the Northwest as the only province that managed to keep its MEC and its head of department. So I'm not sure what you've done, but you've done something right. Congratulations. Honourable members, it is a pleasure to meet you all this morning, and I do hope that we will have indeed a good 5 years relationship together with this committee. If I can introduce myself, it's Duncan Hindle, the Director General of the Department of Education, which is soon to become two departments, but at the moment, in fact, is still one department. However, I have on my right Dr. Molapo Kubela. He's Deputy Director General for Higher Education, but he is Acting Director General for the new Department of Higher Education and Training. So he will do that part and cover that. On my left, I have my Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Philip Bernardi. It happens to be his last day in public service today, so he's hoping to go out with a bang, perhaps. public service. Mr. Ingobeni seems to be known to most of you. He's the director in the DG's office, and he will assist us today with the presentation. So that's the chair. Mr. Van der Heever has been appointed to the minister's office as the parliamentary liaison officer, so he would be the channel through which you go. I should perhaps, in doing so then, Chair, indicate apologies from some of my other DDGs. As you say, we struggled to fit this particular session in, and I hope you might know that in Johannesburg at the moment we've got a very important teaching development summit going on, and we've had to deploy some of our officials there. So you will meet them in time, but I'm sorry they're not here today. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, DJ. Firstly, let me just indicate that our time is very short, and I know that members would like to interact, but as you rightly indicated that we are going to be here working together for the time of 5 years, then it will allow us enough time to interact with the department. Now I'm going to call upon the department to give us the briefing, of which after that the members will be allowed to interact, ask questions of clarification, ask questions where it's necessary. Over to the department.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and perhaps I should preface presentation by saying that late last week we have circulated the revised now strategic plan for the period 2009-2013. That is the 5-year strategic plan of the Department of Education, and then of course we attach to that the particular operational plan for the coming financial year 2009-2010. These have been circulated through Parliament, and I would hope that honourable members get that. Obviously, that's got much more detail in. What we'll try and do today is just pull out perhaps some of the key issues there in, as you say, as short a possible time. I'm going to start, and the presentation is there, but you've got hard copies as well. I suppose just the broad sense of the department, which we see now as having an expanded scope around human development broadly, and we contribute to that human development of the nation broadly through strengthening general education across the board, improving access to high schools and cognitively demanding curricula in schools and colleges, and thirdly, ensuring participation in relevant higher education programs. That's just the overview, the general, the further, the higher breakdown that we work on. And we're guided by, I'm happy to say, the continuing vision of the mission of the minister, and she has stressed the need to invest more urgently and more directly on the three big issues of poverty, of unemployment, and of social cohesion. And our contribution towards that, of course, is by providing quality education for all. The big goals, I can call them, for the 2009-2010 year is on the next page, and let me stress again that these are just a selection of, obviously there are many, many more, but let me run through some of them, and I trust that you will see the resonance with both the manifesto that draws on the Polokwane resolution. You will see, I think, through this the issues of the State of the Nation address and the medium-term strategic framework of government. First and foremost, of course, is implementing free education. We are increasing the number of no-fee schools we have this year, and we will continue to increase in the coming year. That certainly is a big one. We will be coming to you later in the year, perhaps with some proposals around a complete reorganization of the way that schools are organized and funded, and that will even assist further in this particular one. Last year we passed, in Parliament, the Education Laws Amendment Act. The major element of that was a particular focus on school performance. This act is still in the process of being implemented, and during the course of this year we would want to ensure that this is fully implemented, that schools themselves have performance contracts and in fact enable us, where a school is not performing, to put it under administration of some sort. ECD is going to be a very strong focus, not just of this year, but of the next 5 years. We really want to see every five-year-old in a grade R class, and preferably we want to see those grade R classes in our school system. We do still use community-based sites, but more and more we want to see them migrating into schools themselves. The Foundations for Learning campaign, a very critical one that was initiated under the last minister, but will continue, focusing on your grades R to 6, trying to ensure that every child is able to read, is able to write, and is able to count, the non-negotiables for those early years, certainly. We have a number of bursary schemes, and we keep monitoring those to see that they're delivering. The big one for teacher education is the Funza Lushaka program. We have about 700 million rand going into bursaries for FET colleges, and we want to make sure they're hitting the right spots. And then, of course, the very big one is our National Student Financial Aid Scheme, particularly for higher education students. Continuing focus on the teaching and learning of math, science, and technology. That includes also the rollout of ICTs in schools. At some stage, I think we'd like to brief you. We've done a major feasibility study on the introduction of ICTs across all our schools. We would like to share that with you. The FET sector, obviously, in a bit of transition now with the splitting of the department and the indication that the colleges will go together with higher education and training. This development of a national plan has to take that into account, but we will conclude it. The school nutrition program, I'm pleased to say, in 2009 has been extended to quintile one secondary schools, in other words, your poorest secondary schools. We want to see if we can go further with that at the beginning of 2010 and bring in perhaps another 20% of the poorest learners there. And then a further implementation of the Karagudi math literacy program. We're trying to target some 4.7 million adults over 5 years, ensure they're literate, and we'll report to you regularly on that one. The approaches we're taking is in some ways a cautious one. We set policy review and implementation. We obviously all the time keep policies in mind, but we're also very cautious not to introduce, in a sense, new and different policies. People talk about policy fatigue, etc. A large part of our work is simply making sure that existing policies are working properly and are being properly implemented. You might have seen the Minister's announcement yesterday about the Curriculum Implementation Review Committee. It's a good example. We are not reviewing the curriculum. We're not changing the curriculum. What we're looking at is what are the impediments to its effective implementation to make sure that it can run properly. We continue to also assess the attainment of learning outcomes. We do at grade 3, 6, and 9 levels, we do national assessments. All children at grade 3, 6, 9 write national standardized tests, and based on that we can judge whether the system is improving. I've spoken about the curriculum implementation, the committee that's being set up for that, the monitoring of learner performance, again, grades 3, 6, 9 to ensure progress. The ICT one, as I say, is a big one, and it's an expensive project, but it's one that I don't believe the country can afford not to invest in. We'll share with you. And then we continue to work together with business and NGOs, particularly in our FET sector, trying to draw on whatever support there is out there in the community. As a department, we're obliged, firstly, to, and recalling we're a national department, strengthen monitoring and evaluation. That's a large part of our work, policy development, planning certainly, but monitoring and evaluation also. We use research increasingly to understand and improve the system. This teacher development summit going on is really a research-driven process. A lot of international guests and speakers, as well as local ones, trying to help us understand what are we dealing with, how best do we deal with this. One of the key data instruments is our EMIS, our Education Management Information System. Chair, you must stop me if we get too many acronyms. I'm afraid we tend to do this in education. But I see there are many people from education who would know them anyway. But EMIS is the main one. But the big development during the course of this year, Chair, is this instrument called LURIS. This is a Learner Unit Record Information Tracking System. Put simply, every learner, when they come into the school at age 5 into grade R, they will be put onto the LURIS system. They will be given a specific ID number, perhaps even the normal ID number, and then we'll be able to track every single learner through the system from grade R to grade 12. If they drop out, there will be a red light that starts flashing. What's happened to this child? If they're not progressing as they should, what's happened there? That really will be a critical instrument in developing it. In fact, we're talking to Home Affairs. The likelihood is we'll get people onto LURIS when they're actually registered at birth. So we'll be able to see in 5 years' time, has this person come into the school system or not? So that really is going to be a key instrument. LURIS, so look out for it. We'll come and share it with you perhaps in detail. Teacher development, a key process, and the summit today is very much part of that. And then we've also looked at strengthening the capacity of districts. It's the one area, I think, over the last 15 years that has been neglected. We have an SA Schools Act. We have no SA Districts Act, and really that's the key element in the system. Now getting on to some detail, Madam Chair, to say that we have 6 branches in the current department, and making the point again, all of this will obviously be amended as the presidential proclamations are given. Branch 1 is administration, the normal stuff. Then we have a big branch that does the issue of system planning and monitoring. All the money for the system, norms and standards, all of those sort of things are dealt with there. Then we break up into the general education and training band, the further education and training band, and number 6, the higher education and band. And then number 5, and we'll go through these programs in detail, social and school enrichment. It's broadly those things that go beyond the curriculum that hopefully produce the kind of South African citizen that I believe we'd all want to be looking at in the country. Let me turn now to our budget itself, and I would hope we don't bore the existing members who have been around, but it is critical that we do understand the allocation process for education, the summary of what's provided in the next few pages is given to you on page 8, but let me start first with the allocation process and remind the Honourable Members that government allocations are made from the National Revenue Fund, and 95% of them flow through the Division of Revenue process. They flow as a block grant to provinces, as well as obviously the allocations that are made to local government, and then within those different spheres, the funds are allocated to the various departments. I have to say, Chair, one of the first questions we've got, parliamentary questions, relates to whether the national department has decreased the budget of the Eastern Cape Provincial Education Department. We have nothing to do with the Eastern Cape budget, all right? So please, we must understand that that question, I'm afraid, will have to go to the Eastern Cape Legislature for an answer on that one. So that's the allocation process. We're in the middle at the moment of this new MTF process. We're starting now to engage with Treasury towards what will be our new priorities for 2010 going forward. So we have managed to consult last week with all the MECs, the minister convened. We then go into medium-term expenditure council hearings where we go and motivate for our money. We then leave it to the ministers and the budget council to try and decide on the allocation, and obviously cabinet finally signs off. That's in terms of our own money for the national department, but we also work together with provinces as a collective. So we have what are called 10 by 10 meetings. These are the 9 provinces plus the national department, as well as the 9 provincial treasuries and national treasury. We have these 10 by 10 meetings to try and look at what the priorities are, what they're going to cost, and once again, we go through these different hearings. But of course, thereafter, it's a little bit out of our hands. Whether we get the money or not is one thing. If we do get the money, it gets allocated to the province. And I'm afraid that those of you who've been in education will know the provincial education departments will all tell you we never got our proper share. So that's the fight that we're all going to have to collectively engage in, but that's the way it works. The only time, of course, that we have a guarantee is that we do have some provincial allocations that go through this thing called a conditional grant, which means it comes to the national department. We then impose certain conditions, and only if those conditions are met does the money flow down to the provinces, and we'll talk a little bit about those. But the rest is the equitable share fund. They go or they don't go. We fight for them as best we can, but that's it. Page 11 is just, I think, a picture that spells that out, and I'm going to skip over that. Certainly any questions that people have. Just an overall picture of what's happening to education funding within South Africa. In the previous financial year, we were looking at 104.7 billion, sorry, that was 207.08, and in the past 2 years, you'll see that 104 has now gone up to 139.8 for the current financial year, and that is despite the government-wide cuts that we have seen in broad terms across the economy. On average, we are consuming about 5.5% of GDP. Now, many will tell you that the international standard is closer to 6%, so collectively, again, we're going to have to do battle on that one, amounting to approximately 19.5%. Again, people will tell you at least 20% of your national budget should probably go in education. But having said that, we're not necessarily complaining. Education funding has grown from 207 to 209 by approximately 15%. But, of course, knock a little bit of inflation off that one, and you're not left with a lot of spare money, certainly. Average annual growth over the 209 MTF, approximately 11%, so we should see growth going forward. Provincial education spending, I think an area of focus for you, it's around 48.9% of the province's spending. It should be, colleagues, at least 50%, and that's the fight we have to battle for. It should be at least 50% of your provincial spending should go on education. The difficulty, of course, is the education budgets are so large, it seems really easy at the provincial level to just take a couple of million off education. They'll never notice it, and of course that couple of million might be the total budget of another department, so you know, they like that but it does have an impact on education, and whatever your previous hats were, you're now education loyalists, and we're going to have to look at that. Of that money that goes to education, around 75% goes to compensation of employees, to salary costs. Now, that, of course, is slightly lower than we've often talked about, the 80-20 split. We're, in fact, down at 75%, and that's coming down even more when it was 77% in 2007. So there is a little bit of room there, I would believe, to increase personnel spending. We'll talk about that. The conditional grants are very important to us because they are ones that we manage, but we should recognize that of the total share, they're about 2% going up to maximum 3% of total education spending. So it's not a major amount, but as I say, the fact that it's targeted in that way, I think, is important. Madam Chair, just a little bit of history, and I'll skim through it. This is the 07-08 budget versus expenditure. Many people will tell you that every time we go for money, Treasury says, oh, but are you spending your money? Well, the track record is here, Madam Chair. Of the $16.3 billion that we received in 2007-08, yes, we spent $16.24 million, and the remaining amounts were generally rolled over that we were able to retain them. You will see, and it's an important point to make, that of our total budget in that year of 16-something billion, you'll notice that nearly 12 billion gets transferred straight away to our higher education institutions. Another 1.3 billion went to the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, another 1.2 billion to the National School Nutrition Program, and in fact, the money that we have left over, as it were, for spending is in fact very, very small. I'll come back to that perhaps later. This is just a similar picture on page 15, just on a different form of classification. But there again, you'll see that of the $16.3 billion, $15.3 billion is actually transfer payments. So it comes into, a bit like our salaries, I suppose, comes into our accounts and then goes out the next day, and we really don't get much discretionary money on it. The same sort of picture for the 2008-09 budget. Budget was 19.749. Total expenditure was 19.709, so once again, I think a very high level of spending, and I should remind you, particularly with the CFO here, that for the last 5 years, we have been able to secure clean audits in every case, so it's not just spending, but it's efficient spending as well. Page 17 is a repetition, but on a different breakdown, so that you can go through, and then let me indicate what we're dealing with at the moment now. In the current year, 2009-2010, our budget has gone up to 21.287, and you'll see the projections for the next 2 years, a substantial growth next year to 25.1, and into 2011, 28.1. We're still optimistic about this, but of course you would all be aware, Chair, that Treasury has not put out very positive signals at the moment. We're just hoping, of course, that this isn't cut at all, although we're still optimistic that it will be retained. The breakdown you can see per program, the major amounts again in higher education, in social and school enrichment because of the school nutrition program. In fact, if you look at the spending on further education and training, on general educational system planning, that's really the discretionary money that we have, and we'll indicate how we use that. Again, just a different presentation on page 19 in terms of how the budget is presented. Relatively small percentage we spent on compensation of employees. Most of ours is around goods and services, actually getting the work done, I would hope, Chair. Chair, for your background, because this is part of the battle, we want to share with you the bids that we have made in previous years and what the consequence of those has, in fact, been. If you look at the 2007-08, we went and requested money. You shouldn't compare the two columns. We requested about $1.5 billion additional funds. In fact, we got about $600 million, I think, if you add up the right-hand column. But you will see per item what was allocated there. So where, for example, on exams we asked for $123 million, we got allocated $54. Some of the smaller ones we did receive. The major one was the request for funding for universities, HEIs. Very little we got from that. Much the same pattern, I'm afraid, in 2008-09. We made some rather substantial requests in that year, and you will see the amounts we got allocated. In many senses, Chair, these amounts are drying up. The likelihood of getting additional money, I'm afraid, is getting less and less as we go. So that's just an indication of where we were. 2008, we went again for the MTF options. And you will see the money, four areas we asked for. Treasury limits us, in fact, the amount of bids we can put in. So last year we said we wanted more money for the school nutrition program, $1.07 billion. We got $344 million. We asked for connectivity, ICT, for the FET colleges. We got nothing. We wanted $26 million for our public entities, our SACWAs, our Umalusis, and so on. We got $8 million. And then we really wanted to push this issue of nationally procuring textbooks, which in fact is a Polokwane resolution. We asked for $210 million. We got nothing. So that's you know, the kind of mood we're in. And then I have to say, if you look at the bottom of that 20809 allocation column, you will see, apart from all the money that we asked for, they then came back and said, but by the way, we want you to save 9.2 million rand in efficiency savings. So, in fact, on that one, we really have had to cut back a number of programs in that regard. That follows through into 2009-10 and to 2010-11, but as I say, we will be going into some new bids now, and hopefully we'll be able to persuade Treasury to be a bit kinder to us. These are the bids we're looking at putting in 2009. When it says national at the top, that means the National Department of Education, and we'll distinguish there from the system-wide. Thank you. Sorry, these were at the start of the 2009 year. Mr. Bernardi's reminded me. So at the start of that year, you'll see the bids we put in again. Big bid for school nutrition. Karigudi, our math literacy program, we didn't get any additional money, but that, of course, still has the existing funds in it. Various other things that we asked for, most of them, unfortunately, we didn't get. So of the 3.1 billion that we asked for, approximately 500,000 was allocated to us. Sorry, 3.1 billion, 500 million was allocated to us. And then the after 2 years as well indicated. Chair, the important one that this committee obviously will take responsibility for is the utilization of the conditional grants. There was a rather odd one last year, an education disaster management grant. This was some schools that were damaged in two of the provinces, so it was a particular item in 2008-09, that $22 million. But the big grants that we've managed over the last 3 years is firstly the FET College recapitalization grant, getting the workshops and equipment and everything in the colleges working. I'm very happy to say that grant, I think, has been successful. It was certainly fully spent. It is now finished, so that grant has come to an end. You'll see nothing in 9-10 and beyond. The continuing one is the life skills education one around HIV and AIDS. It's not as big. It's $165 million, $177 million this year, going up slightly in the next 2 years. These are for HIV and AIDS, life skills programs at schools, training of teachers, provision of materials, etc. I think an important program that we want to see continuing in our schools. The very big one is our National School Nutrition Program. In the current financial year, 09-10, an amount of some 2.3 billion rand that is allocated for the school nutrition program. You will see it grow substantially in the next 2 years to 3.6 billion and 4.5 billion. That hopefully will accommodate some of the expansion we're looking at. We have set very clear norms on this one, the number of days that learners should be fed, the amount per day per learner that should be utilized, and those kind of things. And we want to be sure that provinces accord with those norms, otherwise they don't get their money. From next year, we then begin a technical schools recapitalization, much the same as we did the colleges. We now want to go to the technical high schools. You'll see that next year we've been given more of a planning grant of 80 million rand to plan for the recapitalization, which from 2011 will roll out fully with the 200 million rand conditional grant. So those are the conditional grants we're managing, and I'm sure a full session there with yourselves. Perhaps, Chair, you'd be more interested in the work of the provinces, and let's indicate first the 2007-08 financial year. These, of course, have now been audited figures. You will see that the overall budget initially was 88 billion, an additional 1.2 got added to that, so they were sitting at nearly 90 billion overall expenditure on education. I'm pleased to say that almost all of it was spent, the 88.375 billion, some 1.5 billion was saved. But you will see in that column that a number of provinces significantly overspent, including Northwest by